horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-yo silver, the Lone Ranger. Faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver. Let's go, Big Tonto. Hail Silver!
The cattle town of Stockdale had a future as bright as the West. But unfortunately, the head of the Stockdale Bank had a past as dark as the night outside. Local gambler Floyd Duval had known Crowell by other names in the past. And it was in Duval's house that they met in post-midnight secrecy. Duval was talking.
And you'll be taking a chance if you stay here much longer. The way things are booming here, you'll have people crowding in day after day. And the more people that came, you'll know that...
The chance there is of my being recognized. I realize that.
Yeah, I thought you would. You realize, too, I hope, that I'm not going to stand for any double cross from you, Cromwell.
Now, look here, Duval.
Stop it, stop it. You've been through this same routine before. I'll work with you and split with you, Crowell. But I'll never trust you.
I don't like that.
I don't either. That's why I have Coke Nolan standing behind the portiers with his gun pointing at you.
Huh?
That's right. Come on out, Coke.
Right, boss.
That's... I resent that, Duval.
Then drown your resentment with a drink. I figured after I gave you the foolproof plan for getting away with the money this time, you might decide to use it alone.
I... Well, never mind. Where's the drink?
Coke will get it. But first, let's decide exactly how we work this deal. You're in on this, Coke, so listen.
I'm listening, boss.
Before we start, the money will be hidden in the mine shaft at Rainy Pass?
Yes. You and Coke can get together tomorrow night and stash it there. But as for tomorrow afternoon, here's what you'll do. Now, this clerk of yours, what's his name?
Kennedy. Tom Kennedy.
Oh, yes, I've studied the boy. He's exactly the type that'll go for the story you give him.
It's really too bad we have to kill him.
I'll attend to that part.
Yeah. But here's what you do, Crowell. After closing hours at the bank tomorrow, will you speak to this Tom Kennedy?
Tom Kennedy, Jason Crowell's lone employee, was summoned into the banker's office late the next afternoon. Crowell outlined an important and confidential business transaction he was about to undertake and surprised the young man by saying...
And it's you I want to carry it out, Kennedy. I want you to go to Kansas City with the papers.
Me? You want me to go?
Yes. You're a bright young man, and I have confidence in your judgment.
Oh, well, Well, thank you, Mr. Crowell.
Not at all. I also rely on your discretion and your ability to keep a secret. You can keep a secret, Kennedy? From everyone, including your wife?
Oh, yes, sir. I promise you that, sir.
Good, because I stand to lose many, many thousands if you don't.
You won't, Mr. Crowell. What is it you want me to do, sir?
I'll give you the envelope with the papers and certificates you'll deliver to a certain gentleman in Kansas City. You'll take the feeder stage from Pottsboro at 7 in the morning.
At home that evening, Tom Kennedy's pretty young wife, Katie, listened wide-eyed as he told her of his secret business mission.
I'll have to drive over to Pottsboro and get the stage at 7 o'clock in the morning. That'll get me to the main line by evening. I'll be in Kansas City the day after tomorrow.
Oh, it's simply wonderful, Tom. Mr. Crowell must think a great deal of you.
Yes, that's what he said. He also said that... No, I can't tell you. I'm sworn to secrecy.
About what?
About everything. This business. You wouldn't understand, Katie.
No, I suppose I wouldn't. Well, we'll have to get up about 4 o'clock if I'm to get you to Pottsboro by 7, won't we?
If you're to get me there. Oh, Katie, I have to go there alone.
Well, how? Nobody in town's supposed to know you're going, are they?
No.
You have no saddle horse, have you?
No.
Even if you did, you'd need somebody to ride it back here.
I could stable it in Pottsboro.
But you haven't one, remember?
Oh, I never thought of that part. I don't imagine Mr. Crowell did either.
So I'll hitch up White into the buckboard and drive you to Pottsboro. I'm your wife, and I can keep your secret. We'll be off before sunup, and no one will know that I'm here.
In spite of a few weak protests from her husband, Katie Kennedy handled the reins of the horse when they set out in the darkness at 4 o'clock next morning.
You're an important banking man, Mr. Kennedy. You need someone to drive your coach and four. Just sit back and be quiet now. I'll get you to Pottsboro in time. Get up there, boy. Get up.
The couple arrived at the stagecoach junction in Pottsboro shortly before 7 o'clock. Tom Kennedy bought a ticket for Kansas City and returned to his wife.
I'd better hurry, darling. There's the coach over there. That's the one I have to get.
Tom, you'll be careful, won't you? Especially in Kansas City, what they say...
Never mind what they say, Katie. Just kiss me and let me get...
Passengers for Kansas City. Passengers for Kansas...
Just a moment. I'm going to Kansas City.
Then hurry along, Bob. You're the only one I got going at this point. We start on time.
Yes, sir. Goodbye, Katie.
Goodbye, Tom. Oh, and Tom.
Hey, you're coming, Bob, or aren't you?
Coming. Katie, what were you saying?
Oh, Tom, I put sandwiches in your bag.
Katie, I told you not to open it because I have...
Oh, I'm sorry, Tom. Hurry. The coach will go without you.
Yeah.
Yep, here we go. Get up there. Come on.
Bye, Katie. Bye.
Bye, Tom. Bye. Get up there.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto had viewed the farewell scene from a spot between the general store and another building across from the coach station. They had come to the still-deserted main street for provisions before starting off on their day's journey.
Now that we have viewed young love, Tonto, perhaps you better get to the general store before anyone else does.
And no one see us. He come back plenty quick.
Tonto returned in about 10 minutes. After placing the provisions in haversacks...
Easy, the big fella.
Easy, fella.
Come on, Silver.
Get him up, Scout.
The masked man and the Indian rode up a back trail to the hills. Shortly after, they straightened out on another trail, one that overlooked the main road on which the stage was traveling.
We're in no hurry, Tonto. We'll take it easy.
Come, Scout.
Come on, Silver.
At Boulder Bend, hidden by a clump of rocks, Batman Coke Nolan and two other men, Bunko and Costi, sat on their horses and listened intently. Bunko spoke first.
You hear that? You hear it, Costi?
Yeah. It's a stage, all right. Must be about 1/4 of a mile back. What do you say, Coke?
Hey, put your handkerchiefs over your faces. Get ready.
We no shoot the driver, huh?
Not unless he draws. He won't have time if we do it right. You ready, Bunko?
Yeah, sure.
All right, then. Let's move up towards the road.
Come on. Get it. Come on.
The stagecoach, about 8 miles out of Pottsboro, slowed down as it neared Boulder Bend, the approach to a stream that flowed below.
Easy, boys. Oh, easy, boys. Easy.
The driver, his mind miles away, suddenly sat bolt upright as three masked figures galloped from behind the boulders, gun shooting into the air close to his head.
It's Bandage. Whoa, whoa there. Whoa, boys.
The three riders surrounded the coach, one of them grabbing a lead horse by the bit. The driver never had a chance to reach for his gun. Coke Nolan yelled at him.
All right, get down off there, driver. If you don't...
I'm coming down.
You people inside. Out. Get out here. I'm getting out.
Yeah, there's only one passenger. That's this man here.
Who's asking you? Grab that passenger. Search him.
No, you don't have to. I haven't much money. I'll empty my pockets for you.
You will you? Well, how do you like this?
That'll empty them for you.
Hey, what's the idea? He didn't do anything. We're not carrying anything either. No mail.
Shut up.
I'm not going for my gun. You take it if you want.
I will. Got it, boss.
All right. Sorry, mister, but this is for you.
Why, you dirty, no-good killer. You shot him without giving him a chance.
Oh! All right, boys, on your horses. I'll get the bag.
All right.
Here it is. Hey, it wasn't too bad, was it? Now, let's get down to the stream.
Hey, Coke, look.
Huh?
Way up there on the hill.
Yeah, they see us. Two fellas. One's an Indian.
Let's get out of here. About a half a mile from where they are. Come on.
Easy now.
Get up.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto, riding on the hill trail, had heard the shots that killed Tom Kennedy. Minutes later, after crashing through brush and over rocks, they galloped onto the scene where two men were sprawled on the ground. One of the men was moving.
Hold it, easy. He must have it.
Yes.
One man alive. Here.
That's the driver of the stage we saw leave Pottsboro. This is that young boy who was saying goodbye to the girl.
He must have it. Him.
He's dead, Tonto. Oh. Those three men we saw from the hills have a great start on us, but get after them.
Me go.
Meanwhile, I'll attend to this wounded man. We don't want him to die.
Get him up, Scout.
Easy, mister. Easy. Don't move. Don't be frightened. I'm a friend. Let me see. Oh, this isn't too bad. Lie still now. I'll bandage you and get you back to Pottsboro.
The stagecoach, driven by the Lone Ranger and with Silver trailing along in the rear on a tether, arrived in Pottsboro at 9 o'clock.
Ho! Ho! Ho!
Before the masked man could remove the wounded stage driver from the coach, men ran from the marshal's office with guns drawn.
Get your hands up, you, Pottle.
Remove this wounded man and I'll do it.
It's Joe LaGrange, boys. He's been shot. Well, help me get him down.
Sure.
Come on, man.
All right, now easy, Dunn.
We got him. You're the marshal here?
I am. Now get down off that seat like I said.
All right. I'm not an outlaw, Marshal. The three outlaws have escaped after shooting this driver and killing his one passenger. The dead man's out by Boulder Bend.
I don't know what your game is, stranger, but I'm going to find out. A hold-up, a murder, and Joe LaGrange shot, and then you coming from Boulder Bend wearing a mask. Get into my office and keep them hands high.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments.
Thank you.
to continue. Banker Jason Crowell had appeared at his office at 8 o'clock that morning and had immediately sent for Sheriff Fallon. The bank had been robbed of all its cash, and Crowell left no doubt in anyone's mind that the robbery had been committed by Tom Kennedy, who had not appeared that morning. Sheriff Posse and Crowell rode to Kennedy's home, which was deserted.
Sheriff, here's his wife. Here's Kennedy's wife.
What's the matter, Sheriff? Mr. Crowell, is something wrong?
Where is he? I'll kill him. Where's that ingrate, that thief?
Just a second, Mr. Crowell. Mrs. Kennedy, where is Tom?
On his way to Kansas City.
You hear that, Sheriff? Get to the telegraph. Stop the robber. Get that money back.
Mr. Crowell, what are you saying? Why
I'm
you
saying that your husband stole $100,000 or more from the bank. He broke into the safe.
That's a lie. That's not true, Mr. Crowell, and you know it.
Listen to her, Sheriff.
He's going to Kansas City because you sent him there, Mr. Crowell. I drove him to Pottsboro to make the main coach connection.
With the bank's money. The people's money. You helped him steal it.
Now, calm down, Mr. Crowell. If he's on the stagecoach, as Miss Kennedy says, we have no trouble intercepting him. I'll go back and telegraph to Pottsboro in Kansas City.
Then do it at once. Get that money back.
But he hasn't any money. I looked into the bag he's carrying and...
You what?
I looked into his bag. He said you ordered him not to let me, but... Well, I did. And there was nothing in it except some envelopes and papers.
Well, I aim to find out what the truth is. Now, come on, all of you. We're going back to town. And the first thing we're going to do is telegraph Pottsboro in Kansas City.
More than an hour later, after Sheriff Fallon had sent messages to both towns, a reply came back from Pottsboro.
Replying to yours, the body of Tom Kennedy was found...
The body? You said no!
Oh, no! What about the money? Did they get it?
No, Mr. Crowell. They got Tom Kennedy, though.
Who did? Who killed him?
I don't know. Marshal Pottsboro will bring Kennedy's body back here. This telegram says so. Then we'll know all there is to know.
The Lone Ranger had identified himself to the marshal in Pottsboro. The marshal was convinced.
The silver bullet, the mask, and the white horse are enough, stranger. And if they weren't, then Joe LaGrange's story is. He'll recover, the doc says, thanks to you.
The Lone Ranger was still with the marshal when Kennedy's body was returned to the town. Riding with the marshal's men from Boulder Bend was Tonto. He had trailed the hoof prints of the three bandits across the stream and into the hills. But the trail had been lost over rocky ground, and he had only two things to report.
Them make double track, me think.
Meaning they circled back in this direction?
Maybe. Through hills.
The hills circle the town. I'll get my men right into them to search.
Men, come here.
Kemosabe.
Yes?
Me find one horse. If me see trail again.
One of the hoof marks is distinctive.
Ah. It got mark on corner. Me know it if me see it.
We let the marshal's men take up the trail now, Tonto. We're going to Stockdale. Somehow I can't believe the boy was a thief.
Thief?
Oh, you don't know about that, do you? Well, when we're riding back to Stockdale, I'll tell you the story that came over the telegraph wire a little while ago. It's all very strange.
Tom Kennedy's body was taken back to Stockdale that afternoon. The Lone Ranger and Tonto remained in the background while Sheriff Fallon and the marshal compared stories, and banker Jason Crowell called for the return of his money. Later, the masked man met Tonto alone on a back trail. The Indian was studying hoof prints.
Oh, easy, said the big fella. Easy.
Sabe.
Yes?
Same hoof print here. Me see on trail today.
At Boulder Bend, the bandits?
Ah.
Let me see. Yes, it has a mark on the corner. Very distinctive, and it's fresh.
Me sure, Kemosabe.
Leads down from the hills and to the west. Well, let's follow it, steady, big fella.
Easy, easy, fella.
Good, we came this way. Come on, Silver.
Get him up, Scout.
The three bandits, Coke Nolan, Bunko, and Costi, had returned to Stockdale by a roundabout route. Now, after riding in behind the town, they were in Floyd Duval's house.
It went swell, boss. All except for that part about the two fellas that came up on the hill.
But you say they weren't near you, Coke?
Nah, we covered our tracks perfect anyway. Didn't we, boys?
Yeah, sure.
And Kennedy's dead, so we're all set. Right?
Except for the money.
Hey, boss, you want me to go to the mine shaft and Rennie Pass to check on the money? See if it's still stashed there?
You don't have to. Crowell's too busy stirring up the lawman to try and steal it from us.
Yeah, what about us? We could steal it from him. We could grab it and leave him holding the bag.
It's not the way I work. Banco Costi.
Yeah.
You two go ahead to the hideout. I want to talk with Cook. Right. He'll be along to join you in an hour.
We'll be waiting for you, Coke. Come along.
Half an hour passed. The Lone Ranger and Tonto had followed the trail of the curve-marked horseshoe to a spot at the end of town. There, the trail went downward, and near the end was a large ranch house.
Tonto,
you know that house.
Ah, it belonged to Gambler.
Yes, Floyd Duval. Tonto, we'll ride through that grove of trees behind the house, and then... No, it's too late. Someone coming out of there now.
Ah, he can get on horse.
It may be our man. Let's get after him. Come on, Silver.
Coke Nolan saw the two horsemen behind him after he'd ridden about half a mile. He recognized the silhouette of an Indian, and he recalled the two men he had seen that morning. As he started to gallop, there was no doubt that they were coming after him. He became panic-stricken and began to fire over his shoulder. The men pursuing bent low in the saddle and held their fire. When his gun was empty, they were almost abreast of him, and each fired over his head.
Stop! Ho there! Ho! Don't shoot, I have no bullets. Don't shoot.
Hold on.
Yes.
Look at the ground. This is the same horse.
Yes. This is the man. One of them.
What are you talking about? What is this? Shooting at me
and
me?
Turn your horse and get down to the main road.
What for?
You're going back to the sheriff's office. You're wanted for murder.
Huh? What murder?
You'll know when you're arrested. Where are the other two men?
Are they gone? What other two?
Tonto, Duval's house. Keep a watch on it.
Duval? How do you know about...
You didn't think you'd get away with this, did you?
It was him. He's putting it on us, huh? Crossing us.
Duval?
No, of course not. You know who... Oh, no. No, I'm not saying any more.
Tonto, you stay at Duval's. I'll take this fellow to town with the sheriff.
Right, Kimasami.
All right, mister, right ahead.
All right. Get up there.
Come on, Silver.
The marshal from Pottsboro, on returning Tom Kennedy's body, had explained about the Lone Ranger to Sheriff Fallon. But the Lone Ranger, when he appeared at the sheriff's office with Coke Nolan, surprised Fallon, and Fallon was also relieved. The Lone Ranger outlined his evidence against Nolan, evidence that seemed most conclusive. Coke Nolan, questioned by the sheriff, refused to answer.
I won't talk because I didn't do anything. Go on, put me in jail. I'll get a lawyer.
All right, Nolan. Hardigan. Take this man back to jail and knock him out.
You're right, Sheriff.
Now, the rest of you men, listen. You come with me to Duval's ranch and... Where's the masked man?
Gone. Went out the rear door, Sheriff.
The Lone Ranger, recalling the words of Coke Nolan, had acted on impulse. He'd seen a light in the bank across the street. It was to the bank that he went after leaving the sheriff's office. He opened the door and found Jason Crowell alone.
Who are you? What are you doing? Keep away from me. Help!
The Lone Ranger grabbed Crowell and held his hand across the man's mouth.
I'm not sure whether you're mixed up with Duval and his gang or not. The sheriff will know the answer very shortly. It'll do you no good to struggle. I'm going to gag you and tie you up. I'll leave you here in the closet until we know the truth. If you're guilty, the sheriff will pick you up. If you're not, he'll release you and I'll apologize. Right now, I'm going to see that you remain here.
The Lone Ranger bound and gagged Crowell, then took off for Duval's ranch before Sheriff Fallon and his men had started. He found Tonto in the brush behind Duval's house.
Oh, he's sitting out. Tonto, Sheriff Fallon and his men will be here soon. I'm going inside now. You stay here. Keep your eyes open and let me know if trouble comes.
Floyd Duval hesitated before answering the rap on his rear door. Finally, with revolver drawn, he opened it. The Lone Ranger was inside before the man could act.
Duval, put away your gun. I've come to warn you the game's up. The sheriff's arrested Coke Nolan, and he has him dead to rights. You've been crossed.
Crossed?
The sheriff's on his way here now. Believe me, he... You hear? Horses outside. It's the sheriff.
Yeah, I'll find out if it hears up. Uncle Cossie! Why'd he come back here?
Oh, we've been waiting for Coke. Said he'd be back in an hour, and he never showed.
We thought maybe something go wrong.
I tell you, he's been arrested.
Who's this fella?
I don't know. He says I've been double-crossed.
Like Crowell? Did he cross you?
Hey, boss, if it's Crowell, he's getting the money for himself. I'm sure he and Coke stashed it in the mine shaft at Rainy Pass.
Yeah, I know they did, but I don't believe their story. Something queer about it. You with the mask. How did you find all this out?
Hey, boss, listen. Horses outside.
It's a posse. I told you they'd come, Duval.
Look out the window. There's a bunch of them. Come on, let's make a run for it. The rear door.
Come on, boss. They're in back, too. They're an Indian.
Get your hands up, the three of you.
Oh, you're the crosser.
Why, you... No.
Drop your gun if you don't want the same.
There's my gun.
Yeah, I should have let you have it. And there's mine. I'm not going to risk a shot.
No, it'll be better to talk.
You were in with Crowell on this. Well, let me tell you that you're not going to...
Get your hands up!
I'm in, Sheriff Fallon. I have them under control. Otto fired and drove them inside with their backs to me. It was easy.
Now, look here, Sheriff. If you're going to join in with this man and Crowell, then I'm going to tell the world everything. You hear me?
Listen to him, Sheriff. You'll learn a lot.
Hope Nolan was here today, Duval. Now he's in jail, where we're going to take you.
You'll take Crowell, too, or I'll know why.
Sheriff, the money's hidden in the mine shaft at Rainy Pass. There's only one mine shaft there, so you'll have no trouble finding it.
Thank you. Men, handcuff these three. And bandage the arm of that fellow over there.
As his deputies obeyed, Sheriff Fallon spoke in low tones to the Lone Ranger, who had taken him aside. Duval, handcuffed, interrupted.
Sheriff, Crowell's not going to frame me. And while you're at it, why don't you arrest the masked man? He's Crowell's partner in this.
The sheriff exchanged amused glances with the masked man, who was now standing near the doorway. When the Lone Ranger left the room, the sheriff turned to Duval.
You didn't hear what he just told me, Duval. He's got Crowell tied up, waiting for us to arrest him. The masked man is on the side of the law.
On the side of the law? Who is he?
You should guess by now. He's the Lone Ranger.
This is a feature of The Lone Ranger Incorporated, created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Enterprises, directed by Charles D. Livingston, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of The Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.